Good morning. It's good to see you all here. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Luke 13, 1 through 9. And when you get there, if you can, I'd like to ask you to stand, please, as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching on Unless You Repent. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer, and if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word and the power of your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will help us today to examine our hearts and lives. And Lord, if there is any unconfessed sin or anything that we have not repented of, we ask and pray, Lord God, that you would reveal it to each and every one of us so that we can look deep within ourselves, dear God, that we can repent, that we can confess of sins, Lord God, and ask for forgiveness so that we can be in right fellowship with you, Lord. And Father, if there's any unclean thing in our lives, let us get rid of it, dear Lord God, because, Father, we want to live for you. We want to live by the Spirit and not the flesh. And now, Lord, we thank you, and I pray as I preach this message that, God, you will speak and speak through me through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor, glory, and praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I tell you what, I've really had this on my mind a lot lately about repentance. And I think if, you know, we could surely look at other people we know that have done wrong things, and we could easily point a finger and say, "Well, you need to repent. You've done this or that." But what I want to look at today is I want each and every single one of us not to look at somebody else, but look at our own life. And I want us to see, are we really living for the Lord? Have we truly repented of the things that we've done? It might have been something from years back. It might be something from yesterday or even last week. But what is repentance? Repentance means to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. Now that come out of the Webster's Dictionary. I'll read that again. To feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm not asking you to because that ain't important, but I just wonder how many of us have done things in our life and we felt bad about it. We felt horrible. I can tell you, When I was a kid, we come back from vacation, and I was a little rambunctious as a kid. I asked Dad if he could unlock the garage door so I could get my bike out because I wanted to go ride my bike. Well, Dad said, I'll get out there when I get to it, and I'll get it done. Well, I had the wild idea that if I just took out the window, I could reach in there and pop that lever, and I could get that door open and get my bike out a lot quicker, which I did. Well, after I had busted that window out of the garage to get down my hand in there and get that lever and pull the door up, here come my dad outside. My dad said, I want to know, son, how did you get into the garage? He said, I would have had to gone in through the door from the side, and you don't have that key. How did you get into the garage? Well, right then, the anguish and the guilt came upon me, and I told my dad the truth. I said, I busted out that window. Well, and I got my height adjusted and got sent back in the house. But I'll tell you what, I had done wrong against my dad. I'd done something really wrong. And I tell you what, when I sat in the house, I was in the fifth grade now, and I really thought about it, and it did. It hurt me. It hurt me to know that I had disobeyed my father and that I had hurt his feelings. And my dad, he showed grief over that. My dad actually cried because he was renting this house from a man who thought my dad was a very well-respected person. And I went to bed that night, and it still was on me. I wasn't a Christian or nothing. I was just a kid. But it really bothered me to hurt my dad's feelings. And so in life, it makes me wonder, when we do things against our Heavenly Father, see, our Heavenly Father has given us so many commandments to live by. And He expects us to live a certain way. He expects us to abide by His Word and to live a righteous life. Now, you hear people say, well, I'm a human. Yes, we are human. We all have faults. We have things that happen. But the Lord commands us that if we live by the Spirit and if we abide by His commandments, that we will remain in fellowship with Him. But if we choose to live our lives outside of what He's commanded, then we have broken fellowship, and it's until we repent of sins or things that we have done, it will keep us separated from God. And I know a lot of people who, when they've done wrong, they have literally said, well, I asked God to forgive me, but I still feel bad. And I go, well, why do you feel bad? Well, I know that the Lord says He'll forgive me, but, you know, it's still on my mind and my heart. And that's something that the devil does to try and keep us separated from fellowship with the Lord. The word repent is not very popular today. It is very popular when it's encountered in God's Word. Repentance is absolutely vital. If a person is to be saved from sin and changed by the power of God. So it took repentance of your sin in order to get saved. You had to come to a place in your life where you realized your heart and life were empty and you needed Jesus to become your Lord and Savior. You realized that your life was filled with sin, and you realize there was no other way to get out of that sin but to come to Jesus. And you asked God, you repented of your sins, you believed on Jesus, you believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth that He is the Lord, and you invited Him into your heart and life to be Savior. And at that time, your sins were washed away, and you were made whole and clean. And there are times, yes, day in and day out, that we will fail God. But I want you to know, every time we fail God, It's important at the very minute that we have sinned, it's very important that we stop immediately what we're doing, bow upon our knees before the Lord or wherever you're at, even if you just have to whisper the prayer, Father, I have sinned against you. I have failed you. And Lord, I am sorry for the things that I've done. And I ask you to please forgive me, Lord, of my sins, and forgive me and cleanse me. And you know what? When you ask the Lord to forgive you, the Bible says that He will cast your sins as far as the east is to the west, and He will what? Remember them no more. Who remembers everything, though, after we've done it? Well, the enemy sure does, and we do, don't we? But if we have truly repented, and let me back up just a minute. If we have done something in our life and we have not truly repented, that's when we need to stop and examine our heart and life and see where we have actually failed the Lord. First thing I want to look at this morning is suffering in this life is not necessarily a result of one's own personal sin. Jesus said in verse 2, do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? A lot of times we think that because something has happened to somebody sin-wise, we think that they must have done something really bad, don't we? How many times have we had it? Oh, I've been there, judgmental heart. I've seen people going through rough stuff, and I have sat down and thought, well, golly, I wonder what they did so wrong that they're being punished for it. And then the Holy Spirit immediately has come to me and said, how do you know what's affected their life and why they're going through it? How do you know? Did somebody already tell you? I mean, it's come to me clear as that. And I have to remember that the Bible says, Jesus said in His Word, that we will all face tribulation. We're going to all face times of hardship and trial. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So see, there's going to be things happen in our lives, and it's not because of sin. Now, there are things that will happen to you because of your sin. Go back and look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah was an evil city. There were men laying with men. There were women laying with women. There was all kinds of perversion, all kinds of different sin going on. And let me point something out to you also. There is not one sin that's greater than another except for blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, is the only unpardonable sin. So here you have people saying, well, this sin, boy, it's that person did that thing. Boy, they're worse than this one over here. And what I mean by that, this person here shot and killed five folks. Man, they're terrible. But this guy over here, he just, you know, he shoplifted. So he's not too bad. That's how we tend to judge people in life today. But you know what? When God looks at sin, it's all one thing. Sin's all on one level. There's not one sin greater than the other except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah continued to go on with their sin for many years, and Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed them by fire. God literally wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah of their sin. That's why I want to preach this message this morning about repentance. If we have things in our life, if we have sin in our life, and we're not bringing it out, we're not getting it before God and repenting, we are actually setting ourselves up to be put into a dangerous position. Secondly, the question to be asked is, am I right with God? We have to repent. Jesus said in verse 3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What do you think the Lord's meaning by that? Anybody want to try to take a guess what the Lord means by that? You'll face judgment. You'll face dangerous judgment. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So you need to look at your life and your heart. I need to look at my life and my heart. Am I right with God? Is my fellowship with Him hindered in any certain way? Because if my fellowship with God is hindered in any certain way, then you know what? I've got no business being up in this pulpit. If I'm living a life of sin, I need to be sitting down and I need to be hearing messages. I need to be spending time in the Word. I need to be looking at my life as a whole and finding out, where I'm going wrong and where I'm the weakest. And I need to give it to the Lord and I need to make it right. Now, I used to go through a lot of years as a pastor, and if things didn't go like I wanted things to go, either at church or business meeting or what, you know, I had this thing, and if things didn't turn out or if anybody went against something, I got aggravated and I didn't like it. And you know, I was young and dumb and immature, but it started to affect my relationships with people in the church. I would come into church and there wasn't any joy or fellowship, and then people were starting to bicker and backbite and all kinds of things going on. And I'm sure there were other things already in place before I'd ever come to church, but the things that I was doing was causing bad fruits to appear in my own life. So each and every day we should get right with the Lord. We should look at our lives and we should make sure that God is at work in our heart and our life. We are living by the Spirit and not the flesh. Also, I want to read just to you. This is from the Greek on the word repent. It means to change your mind and your conduct and to keep on changing. See, as Christian people, when you get saved, it's not a lightning bolt that hits you and bam, you're all different and you're all good. That's not what it's... I mean, that's what you're working toward. When you become a Christian, you're starting off as a baby. And you know how babies are. Babies cannot eat solid food, can they? Well, number one, babies don't have teeth. They don't have the ability... Could you feed a four-week-old, could you feed him a steak and a baked potato? Well, no, because his body's not meant to... The baby's got to have formula and milk. And the baby's got to start off small. And as that baby grows and adapts, and as that baby gets teeth, then the baby is able to swallow more on his own and you can give the baby more solid food. Well, the same way with a Christian. You become a Christian, you get saved, and you're a babe. You have to start out in the Word of the Lord. You can't become a brand new Christian and then go jump into an area of ministry and expect God to start doing all these things when you don't even really know the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against You, Lord. See, we take in the Lord's Word. If we read and study God's Word, we pray and we live a life that's right and according to Him, then as we start to grow, we will be changed. But see, it has to come from within you to want to change. It has to come from within you. You have to have the desire. You have to say, you have to take a long good look at yourself and say, all right, I'm tired of the way my life has been. I want it to be different. As an early Christian, yes, I went through hard and difficult things, and yes, I was stubborn. I admit that, and I was prideful, and it took a lot of years to make me see and realize that it's God's way and not my way. So see, the Lord never gave up on me. I expected the Lord to kick me out of the ministry, but all it took was for me to repent and come back and say, Father, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. You guide me, and that's where we'll go, because I have a willing heart. And that's what we all have to have. We all have to have a willingness to let the Lord work in our life. Means get yourself out of the way, let God take over, and let God direct and guide your path. But every day, we have a choice to make. Am I going to let God have my day? Am I going to be joyful? Am I going to produce fruit? Just like it was talking about this fig tree that wasn't producing any fruit at all. It was planted in the ground. There are so many Christian people in churches and living in the world today. They're planted in the ground, but they're not bearing any fruit. And the Lord has said that if any of us do not bear fruit, then we will become like a dead branch. We will be cut off and cast into the fire. If we truly are Christian people loving the Lord, then our lives will bear good fruit. And I also believe that God has put us on the face of this earth as Christian people to help other Christian brothers and sisters who may be suffering in some way in their life. And God has put us there to couple us to certain people and to show His love and to show His affection through our life to reach one another. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about this church here and the things that people say. I mean, to hear things at the yard sale, I know I've said this before, but you know what? It's a good testimony. And two weeks ago when I talked to Vicki, and boy, she just went on about the church. That's what's good, that you have a church like this that's been around a long time, but you've got a church like this where people love the Lord and people are willing to do no matter what the cost, just like this morning. Milton was willing to be muddy to help somebody else out and still come to church. That, my friend, is a good heart. And I'm not saying this to put Milton on a pedestal or anything like that, because everybody here does something to serve the Lord. But it's a man like that that makes me even want to push myself and say, if I saw somebody in need, would I stop and help them no matter what the situation looked like? The fruit of repentance reveals life. If we would repent of our sins on a daily basis and ask God to forgive us, oh, I'm telling you what, it would bring us so much life. It would bring us so much joy. But when I see Christian people who are bitter, who are hard, who are just, they're unforgiving, it makes me wonder why. Why would somebody hold on to something that the devil has planted in their life when all they have to do is quickly and freely give it to the Lord and ask God for forgiveness, that their life would be so much more different? But I see people hurting in the world, and that's where we here at Boscadill Baptist Church can reach out to those around us and say, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I'm here. You can talk to me. I'm going to be praying for you. And we could do so many different things through God's love that we could touch the heart of that one person. Do you realize that if you touch the heart of one person, now I don't want you to stop at the heart of one person, but do you realize that if you touch the heart of one person, that one person is going to touch two hearts, and then those people are going to touch more hearts? But see, we have to realize that it's not by our own doing, it's not our own power, it's not by our own ability that these things happen. It's all because of God. And if we live our lives for the Lord, then we're going to live a good life. Yes, we'll face trials and tribulations. Yes, we will. But we have got to walk through the fire. And I want you to know that even in the case of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And when the king's men looked in, they said, "We see three men in the fire, and they are unharmed. And we see but a fourth man, and he looks like the image of the Son of God." So see, you're going to go through fiery trials, but when you're in the fiery furnace, remember who that fourth man is with you in the fire. Remember, you have Christian brothers and sisters that are in the same fire. They're all being shaped and formed in that fire, but it's in that time that we have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and realize that even though we're in the fire, we will not be harmed. We will not. See, when they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire, their clothes were not burned and they didn't even smell a smoke. So see, when your time of being in a fire is out and you come out of that fire, you're going to be untouched. Because if you've kept your faith and trust in the Lord and you have lived a good life and you repent of your sins and you remain in fellowship with God, you're going to come out of that fire and you're going to look back and say, "Wow, that's what God was doing with me." And you're going to say, "Okay, Lord, the next time I go through something, when we go into it, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to praise you, and have faith in you." Luke chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So see, Jesus is waiting today. And I guarantee you that there's going to be Christian people who say, "Well, I'm all right. I came to church today. I opened my hymn book and I sang. And I followed along with a preacher. I said a prayer before him. I'm all right." There's Christian people who live like that. And that's a dangerous spot to be in. If you're not producing any fruit, you're going to be like a withered branch and be cast into the fire. What I've always said, if you have gotten saved and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it will show in your life. It will show in your actions. It will show in the way that you talk. It will even affect the way that you think. Don't let your life happen by what's going on around you. Let your life happen by what God's wanting to do inside of you. See, all the external things don't matter. But the day's coming when we will all stand before the Lord. And I can't do anything to help Milton out, you know, when he stands before the Lord. And he can't do anything to help me out when I stand before the Lord. I've got to look at my heart and my life. And I have to say, "Lord, where am I going wrong? Lord, what do I need to change? Lord, is there something that I've done that maybe I have forgotten about, bring it to my remembrance so that I can confess it, that I can repent of it and ask for your forgiveness, because I don't want my fellowship with the Lord to be out here like this. I want to be so connected with God, so much. My wife said to me a couple weeks ago something that, oh, it's really important. She said, do you realize how important it is every day that we pray together? Because she said it keeps that three-strand fold of love, keeps us intertwined with God. And she said, do you realize that if we ever went without reading the Bible together or praying together, she said, do you know how easy it would be for that threefold cord to be unwound? And if it becomes unwound, she said, do you realize what could happen in our lives? And she said, that's why it's so important that we stay so tight together and not let the devil into our lives in any place. She said, we've got to stay prayed up. And she said, we have got to be aware of what the devil is doing around us. I tell you what, after my wife said that, man, I sat back and boy, it got me to thinking. First thing I done was I got out of my recliner and I went into my secret little room. It's a little bedroom off the side that we don't use it for sitting and praying and reading and singing. But I went in there and got on my face. And boy, I started pouring my heart out to the Lord. And when I got done, I tell you what, I felt good. I felt good. I preach this message today not to point fingers, but to make us aware that we need to look at our life and we need to make sure that it's in right standing with God. Because if Jesus comes today, or if you die today, what's He going to say?